Yeah, good morning. I didn't get to talk to everybody this morning. It feels like my pastor's duties start well before the church service, especially today. A couple of discussions and stuff I had with some individuals. Do pray for marriages. I think that's one of the things we need to continually do because it's not always an easy little living with somebody. But I'm just joking. But there are difficulties within marriages, you know, sacrifices that each individual needs to make, and sometimes it's a difficult time to make those sacrifices. As I mentioned earlier, you know, there's an individual, Mary Beth, I did meet up with Sean finally this morning. Yeah, he was going to meet last week, but we didn't quite do it. Sean did give me permission. He's dealing with demonic powers. And he doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to handle it, and doesn't seem like it's, there's no end to it, you know, in terms of what he's experiencing. Try to explain to him, God is so much more powerful than anybody else, and just reading scripture and praying to God removes, you know, the presence of God. Evil is removed and stuff. So pray for Sean. And he needs prayers. He has anxiety, so it's difficult for him to be in groups. So he doesn't like coming to large church groups like this, which I understand. But we can pray for him, and we can pray for other individuals, too, that are still dealing with things that seem like they're endless, you know, out there. And that never, whatever it is, the situations, relationships, it could be money, a job, it just never ends. But God is more powerful than any of that stuff. And we have to remember all of that. All right, so one other announcement I do want to make is that November 9th, please, gentlemen, keep this in your calendar and open it up. It is the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference now in Syracuse. And we haven't talked about it a bit at our business meeting, but I'm assuming that it's fine if the church pays for everything like we did before. I think it's good. And if women, if there's a conference that you would really like to go to, this church can support you to go to that. Just find what it is that you would like to go to, and I think it'd be an awesome experience. Wait, that's an everybody thing.
They should have a new program next year, so.
Yeah, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last night we were talking with our nephew, Josh, who's Carl's son, who's going to, Carl's the one that works at Samaritan Purse that I talked about. He's going to Potsdam. And so he came over for dinner and stuff last night, which was really, really nice and everything. So I offered to him and any of his other guy friends that if they would like to go, kind of put it right out there. I said, the church will pay for you. And we'll even get your meal on the way back and stuff like that, because I think it's important for them to be able to connect and to have that establishment and to see other men and other people their same age, you know, seeking God. Then it's like, it's an okay thing to do. And Josh believes, and he's pretty good. We were talking some last night and just really enjoyed his conversation. But we also talked to, like, InterVarsity. I think there's a program that the colleges have that's a Christian-based program. And so I think he was going to try to look that one up and see. He's just starting in Potsdam this year, so it's a lot on his plate. But I think he wants to learn more about a lot of things. At any rate, here we are. Today's message is God Knows Your Name. And yeah, amen. And it is important to know this, that he does know your name, and he uses your name. And I think it kind of shows the intimacy and the type of relationship that God wants to have with his people, that he knows your name. So let's go to prayer, and then I'll explain a little bit where this message comes from. Father, I do thank you for this word that we have here today, and it's about our name, how important that is, that we are very important to you. Not only are we important to you to be able to have a relationship with and for us to gather wisdom and your love and your peace, but you, because because our name is so important to you, because we are so important to you, that you even allowed yourself to be put on the cross to die for our sins. That we can have that relationship that you want and establish the kingdom as God our Father and us as His children. So as we read the scripture, let it encourage us to know how close God wants to be with us. And that we are very special to Him, each and every individual. This is my prayer, through your Son Jesus. Amen. Well, this message here is kind of funny because at school, I don't know, up on the screen there, I was doing attendance, and this one girl looks there, and kids are pretty sharp picking things up, so I got to be careful. I never show grades up there because the first thing they do is pew, 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 and they got this photographic memory where they can remember everybody's grade at the split second. How come they've got a higher grade than I've got? Because I thought my stuff was good. And then it becomes a whole complicated issue. But what she did notice was that on the list on the attendance, which just has their names and stuff like that, everybody had their full name there, first name, middle name, last name, except hers. She had her first name and last name. And she goes, how come my middle name's not on there? And I can deal with that. You know, that doesn't have to do with anything with my part of it. So generally what I'm looking at is like, I don't know. And it's like, she's okay with that. But I did say it's maybe because the guidance office just didn't know your middle name when they put these stuff into the data. Your mom just maybe filled out your first name, last name, and never put the middle name in there. So we don't have record of that. And I'm like, well, do you have a middle name? She goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, what is it? And she goes, it's Kayla, I think it is. And I'm like, really? I said, that's kind of neat. How do you spell that? And she goes, K-A-L-L-I-A. And she says, wow, where did you come up with that name? She goes, it's in the Bible. And I'm thinking, my mind is going through all those scripture verses, trying to figure out exactly where that is, because I don't remember that name particularly, where it is in scripture. And I said, oh, that's kind of neat. And of course, there's another student over there that says, what? And you're a pastor and you don't know that? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad. All the way through. So what I thought was going to be okay, I don't know. There's not a good I don't know because I'm a pastor. I should know all these things. Well, guess what I did as soon as she was gone? I looked up her name. Yeah. And I'm like, where is that name coming from? Let me just straighten this out here. Yeah, yeah. Except, that's my thought too, Jeff. It's not a woman's name. It's not really a man's name. Well, it kind of is a man's name. You'll see here in just a moment. Kelly, yeah. Yeah, so Kelly is up here. And it's in Nehemiah 12:20, Kayla of Amux. And what they're talking about there are the priestly families. So this would be a last name of a priestly family. And it's a pretty name. It's the only time it's ever mentioned in Scripture. So I missed it. But aren't names kind of important? My name, I know, is Mike. And I always kind of went by Mike as a little kid. And then when I was about 6th grade and 7th grade, I kind of wanted to go by the name Michael. Because Michael is more, you know, royal, you know, it's got a longer roll to it, and someone actually has to pronounce it right instead of just Mike. It's not Michael. And when we get out there, well, and I didn't, you know, I really didn't mind being called Mike. My mom would sometimes call me Michael when she was getting a little angry, and then it became Michael Charles when she was really angry. And I never really even liked the name Charles when I was growing up. And it's like, why Charles? I mean, there's nobody in the family that I know that is Charles. And then it's afraid, you know, you're afraid it's always going to become Chuck. Hey, Chuck, come on over here. And I didn't want that, you know. Because my name was Mike at the time, or Michael when I was a little older. And then it became Mike again. But it's like, when I found out, though, that Charles came from my my dad's uncle, so it'd be like my great uncle, Charlie, that when my dad was young and he was struggling through the years of high school and stuff like that, Uncle Charlie took him under his wing and taught him some carpentry. He was a fireman and stuff like that. And so then I all of a sudden thought, I'm named after somebody that's really important to my dad. And now all of a sudden, I kind of cherish that name, Charles, because it's something that Dad left for me to have that was important to him. And so names are important when we're looking at them, and how they're used and everything is very important. So we're going to look at some scripture and how names are used and why they're used. But I want you to know that your name is very special as well. And we'll get to the very end of our passage as we get to this point here. Well, we know that naming is very important too, and it was kind of left to us to be able to do those namings. So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Now the Lord has formed out of the ground all the beasts of all the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man, which would be Adam, to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field." I cannot imagine doing that job and remembering every one of them, because there's a lot of those out there. There's so many that it's hard for me to remember my own children's names. We were just talking about this. It was like, you know. Tim's here, so I'm not going to use his as an example. But Emily, when, you know, I'll call her my sister Sandy a lot. Their personalities are very similar, so sometimes I call her Sandy. And then sometimes only once did I ever call her the dog's name, Lily. Once. But she hasn't forgotten. She never forgot that. So naming, it seems to be very important. And you know, it's almost like part of our job is to name things and to give a name to a child that is first born, you know, that's just born. It's important. You mull over those names. You know, what name you're going to. You have no idea what the personality is of the child. A lot of times you don't even know the sex. And that's kind of changing now with all the sonograms and stuff. But it's like, it's hard. And finally a name comes and settles in, and you just know it. And I've always kind of wondered, do people adjust to the name? Their personalities adjust to the names, or do the names really, you know, just that are chosen really just come because of the personality of the child that's there? So when we look at naming in the Old Testament, sometimes names were given based upon personal situations that they were going through at the time. So when we look at scripture here, let's go to Genesis in chapter 4, verses 25, in verse 25. So the very first child that Adam and Eve had was Abel, and they had Cain afterwards. But there was a problem that went between Abel and Cain, and Cain had killed Abel. So in this verse here, it talks about the coming of Seth. It says, "Adam laid with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, 'God has granted me another child in place of Abel,' since Cain killed him." So that God has granted another child. And the word Seth, actually, his meaning is as appointed. Appointed to take the place of another that was there. And so that's how Seth's name came about. Let's look in 1 Samuel verses 1, chapter 1, verse 20. Sorry. Hannah, talking about women in the Bible, she was a woman that was barren. And she wanted the child so bad, she actually went to the temple several times and prayed. And this one time, she was really praying very earnestly that she just wanted a child, a boy, to honor her husband and God together. Well, she was granted that child. And as it says here, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And Samuel is asked of God, is what that means. So you can see how an individual's situation sometimes determines the name of that child that we have that's given. We can look at another set of scriptures here, this one in Hosea we're going to be looking at, where there's a prophetic message with the name of the child. So when we go to Hosea chapter 1, verse 6, Gomer, which is Hosea's wife, conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhama, I think it is, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. So, Lo-Ruhama, is that it? Again, I don't know why I picked this one. I think it's just for self-punishment, to stand up here and not be able to pronounce things. That name means no mercy. Because God was not going to show mercy to the house of Israel because the house of Israel rejected God. And so those names become important. It's prophetically pronounced and it's given to the people as a witness. And then it does happen. There's another time, too, in Scripture where names are actually changed. So in Genesis 17:1, when we're talking about Abram, who's having a closer and closer relationship with God, things change in that relationship. And then God finally says that no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So Abraham means father of many nations. And, you know, again, there's a prophetic message to that. But the point is that a name has been changed in this one here. We have another name changed with his grandson, Jacob. In Genesis 32:28, when Jacob had wrestled with an angel, at the time he was coming back from, or coming back into, you know, the area where his father lived, it says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. So Israel means God contends. And so we're looking at all of this and realizing that names really are important. That there's a reason for those names. And they become who we are through and through. So it's real important to look at knowing someone and so knowing their name so that all of a sudden when a name flares up, like to me, we were just talking about this with Naaman and Emily. When I was in New Zealand, my host mother was Lucy. And we became very close and she was really a good woman. I just really learned a lot from her in terms of just being who you are and just, you know, not trying to put on a pretense or anything like that. I really liked Lucy and everything. But that was a struggle, you know. Hope says, no way, we're not naming our first child Lucy. And because, you know, it was all about Lucy. It was Ricardo trying to bring that up. And Hope's brother was just going to play that one over and over and over and over. So she didn't want that sort of stuff. And it was just a... Yeah. See, it didn't fly. Do you remember that marriage thing I was talking about earlier? Yeah. But the names do define us. So let's look at it from this perspective, that when Moses is called by God to lead the Israelites out of captivity from Egypt, Moses is kind of hesitant in terms of doing that. Finally starts to contend to say, okay, I think I'm going to do it. But if I go, I need to have a name. Who am I going to say that sent me? So let's look at that verse. That's in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Because the name has an awful strong message in it. And God says to Moses, I am whom I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, I don't want to get into dealing about all of that is, but this is where Yahweh comes from that particular name. And it's a name that's so strongly and so held so closely and dearly and stuff that many of the Jews won't even speak that name. Yeah. And so, this is God. I am who I am. Which says an awful lot. Tell them, I am sent you. So we can look even in Scripture, and there's other references that go to the I am, because who says, I am the bread of life? Yeah. Who says, I am the resurrection? Yeah. Who says that I am the good shepherd? Who says that I am the way, the truth, and the light? Who says I am the vine? You see, God is the I am of all. So again, that name is very important and held very dear to the Jewish people. And sometimes we say it's God. And we just hold it at that and kind of collects everything that's in there. But people need to know God. And I think that's why we read Scripture. That's why we present, even here in preaching now. It's why we have Bible study. It's why we contemplate on Scripture. It's because we want to know God in a more personal way. We want to know what the I am is. If you want to know somebody, again, marry them. You'll find out a lot of stuff about them that you didn't know before you were married. You want to know who God is? Marry God. Right? And you will find out who He is. And so, we're looking at this aspect over here. So, the name is really, really important. And that name comes about is how important that is that Scripture leads on in terms of salvation and the name, how they're kind of tied together. So let's look at this right here in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And if you don't know that name, then how can you possibly be saved? If you don't know where salvation comes from, how do you know where to go to look for it? A name is important that we've got. And that name tends to hold on to you as much as anything else. So in Hebrews 2, chapter 10, or Hebrews 2, verse 10 and 11, or 12. I can't get that stuff straight anymore. Somebody's going to have to just read that stuff for me when I get up here. But yeah, here we go. It says, and think about the name that we have here in terms of how that name is carried. And bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. That Jesus is going to use our name and present us to other brothers. Can you imagine that? When we were lifted up into glory with God, I always get this vision, man, you know, that Jesus is going to hold me and say, welcome, Mike, you know. He's going to say my name. And then He's going to present me to the whole heavenly host and say, this is Mike.
In whom I am well pleased.
Well, yeah, because of you here. It's like, and it's you're going to be kind of like a humbled, you know, maybe. I think I would feel that way. I have no idea what it is, but He's going to declare my name to the other brothers.
I'll bet He'll call you Michael.
He probably will. Probably use my middle name too. Just to add that sense of, you know, whatever.
Will you pronounce it like your mother used to?
I don't know. With that same intonation? I hope not. Yeah. But God, yeah, I'm that little Michael pastor there that comes around. All right, so I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. Somehow I find that to be something to look forward to. Only in the sense that I'm in the presence of God, brought into the family of God, that I'm welcomed there, that I have a place, a belonging. And my name will be pronounced. So we're looking at this and moving along and realizing that I carry more than one name, actually. And you're going to see this here in this scripture here in 1 Peter 4:14-17 says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. So, you know, like, you know, we've got Attila the Hun and who are the other? Tim, you're probably pretty good with those, right? Those types of characters that have a big name. I am Mike the Christian. I like that. As you are, your name, the Christian, if you've accepted Christ. It says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, those that do not bear the name of Christ. What will that be like? So that name gives me some ability to go through that judgment, unlike others that don't bear that Christ name that we have.
Pastor,
yeah.
I have a son, Michael, and I had looked up his name before to see what I just looked up Michael. Can I share this with you?
Yeah. And that's kind of funny because I was going to say a little something about that too. It's like, who here has never looked up their name to see what it means and something? But go ahead.
Well, it says here, it's a name, Michael, is from Hebrew, Scottish, Shakespearean, Biblical, English, and Russian. And in every case, it means he who is like God.
Mm. Yeah.
And it says, Hebrew is a gift from God. In the Bible, St. Michael was a conqueror of Satan. And looking down further, biblical, it says poor and humble. And you said how humble you would be when you're presented.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I always wonder, you know, do you become your name, or does your name really reflect who you are when you're chosen with that name? But we all have a choice. And I think that name can just be a blessing, you know, of whatever we have over here. So it is kind of neat. There was when I was working construction, when I was doing my master's program, worked with this guy called Cosmos. And I've never met a Cosmo before. You know, it's like, so I'm like, I had to go look it up. So I went to the library and looked up his name. And the next day at work, I said, looked up your name. I said, do you know what it means? He says, what, you think I've never looked up my name and know what it is? It's like, orderly is what his name means. It's like, this guy was really meticulous about every little thing, and I'm like, wow, someone named you perfectly for that. He just looked at me and went on working and stuff. It was kind of funny, but he and I actually got along pretty well. So when we get into talking about names, God does know your name, and your name is going to be important to him. And I want to show you here, when we're looking at one of the seven churches that God speaks about in the book of Revelation, right? Let's take a small excerpt for that, looking at what happens with our name here. So in Revelation 3:4-5 says, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes, That doesn't mean that they haven't gotten dirty and they haven't been kept clean all the time. It means they haven't soiled their clothes, their life with idols and that type of worship and false worship and stuff. That they have kept true to God. Right? Those are the people that we're talking about. It says, they walk with me. They walk with God. Dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. God knows you by name. And when you know God and who he is and accept him, your name goes into this book of life. And what he's saying here is, when it's in the book of life, it doesn't come out. How encouraging is that? That God doesn't just put your social security number down so that nobody knows who you are. He doesn't put maybe just the birth date that goes along to confirm who that social security number is, which is another number. But he puts your name, your unique name, in that book of life. I don't know about you, but all of a sudden my name seems to be a little bit more important now too. Because now what we're looking at is God is placing our names in that book of life. Because we are like those Sardis there who have not soiled their clothes. I'm not saying we haven't sinned. God has erased that sin, erased the penalty of sin that goes with that. But we continue to walk with God all of our lives, regardless of what's going on around us. And sometimes that's hard, because not everybody wants to be a Christian. God gives us that choice to choose. And as it said in Hebrews there, sometimes there's a suffering that goes with that too, a persecution that happens. In the book of Revelation, it also talks again about this book with the names in it. Let's read on at the end of the chapter, or you know, pretty near right the end of the Bible. And it says, Revelation 20, 12 through 15, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." I want my name to be in that book. I don't want to go through that. Well, what do you have to do to be able to go over there, to have your book, your name, put in that book of life? Yeah. All right, if you're unsure, you've already heard like 3-4 answers just shouted right out over there all at once, simultaneously, and I wasn't even expecting an answer. It was a contemplation sort of thing. But you couldn't hold it back. It's there. So if you are unsure how to get your name in the book of life, you can speak with someone probably right next to you. And they'll give you a simple message of the gospel. A gospel message that says, God loves you. And he died on the cross so that he could take your sin and the penalty of sin, which is death, away from you. And he wants nothing more than for you to love him, follow his commands, be his, you know, the child of God the Father, brother and sister of Christ. And you there you'll find, you know, a completeness in life, because so many people are searching for this over here in this area of life. They're searching over here, and they're searching over here, and they keep moving from place to place because they can never find that place where they want to settle down. They know there's the truth of life. I don't know about you, but I have found it in God. That's what gives me peace. That's what allows me to go through, teaching seventh graders year after year. Actually, the seventh graders are doing great this year. They really are good. So let's look at that name and how personal it is between you and God. Because there's another scripture here that talks about name. This is the last scripture I'm going to use. And to me, it's important because it kind of changes some things in terms of how I look at what we've gotten. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says this: "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna." Now, manna is that bread that fell from heaven, right? So it's something, a gift from heaven that we're talking about. "I will also give him a white stone." Now, the white stone represents being, back in the old Hebrew times, people would put these stones in the ground as a monument to something. Maybe nothing written on them or anything. But as people would walk by, they would say, "Oh, what's that stone for?" And you would be there to explain that was a remembrance of a thing that God has done for me. So you're basically a witness for him. And look at this. "I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." That God's going to give us a new name. Now think about this. That if our name is written in the book of life, that we can pass through some judgment that others won't be going through, that lake of fire is not something that we have to worry about. But we know in Scripture here, they're saying that we're going to be given a new name only known to God and myself. That's a very special name. Sometimes, you get called a nickname by somebody that's, close to you. Hope calls me Mikey, and it's like, and I don't mind it if Hope calls me Mikey, because we have a close relationship, and it's fine. But if Roy called me Mikey, why are you doing that, Roy? But we're looking at this name that's only known between you and God. That's very intimate. I'm looking forward to wanting to know what that name is.
Well, I'm not
going to
be friend anymore.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like we're going to lose our other names. I don't feel that. But there's going to be a special name that God's going to give me, as he's going to give you as believers. Guaranteed, it's going to happen. So how do you live your life now knowing that God's going to give you a very unique name that only you and him know? It's kind of like saying, well, I'm going to win the lottery. I know I'm going to win the lottery sometime down the future. Do you live differently knowing if you're going to win the lottery versus if it's just like, oh, I hope I win the lottery? Do you live differently if when you're in high school, knowing that you're going to, you're going to reach the ripe old age of, 97 years old, and going to church with Jeff's mom, I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is that if you knew that, do you live differently? In the sense that if you knew that God's going to give you a very unique name, do you live differently for that? Do you live in the realm of no longer about what ifs and this, but it's more like, I can't wait for that moment to come. And when it comes, I know it's going to be great. Because it's something that God is giving just to me. You see, God does know your name. And I think that means more than one thing. That we have the name that, you know, our parents gave us. We have the name of Christ attached to us. And we have this special name that God's going to give us. And it's all written in that book of life. God knows your name. And I know His. Amen? Lord, I do thank You for Your Word. I think it's kind of important to know that there's a lot in Scripture. And a lot to look at and to reflect upon. And as in this time, Lord, maybe we can look at the importance of our name and how You call us by name. Where in the end times it talks about the mark of the beast. You know what that is? That's a number. But God writes our name in the book of life. I do thank You for the names that we've been given, Lord, how special they are. And I really do look forward to this new name. This is our prayer through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.